We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mav Step Back Podcast, a very special episode of the Mav Step Back Podcast, as the Dallas Mavericks have defeated the Los Angeles Clippers 3 years after losing to the Clippers in seven games after they had a 3-2 lead. They lost in 2020, the year before, 2021. So they played them in back-to-back seasons. They lost in the playoffs to them two straight years. They were in a situation this season where they were up 3-2. And in game six, and obviously the Clippers didn't have Kawhi. They did for a couple games, but he just wasn't himself, and they shut him down for the series. But they still had Paul George. They still had James Harden. They had Zubac. They had Terrence Mann. They had Norman Powell. You know, they had a lot of talented players. And the Mavs just, you know, their star power with Luka and Kyrie and their bigs that finally showed up at the tail end of this series. And the wings, the overall team defense, that was the number one defense in the league for the final 20 games of the regular season, has carried over into this postseason. And it just all came together in the second half of game six, because the Mavs were up 13 in the first half. By the time halftime rolled around, it was tied because the second quarter was not great. Luka had 14 points in the first quarter. Both he and Kyrie were not great in the second quarter. Kyrie only had 2 points in the first half, and then he exploded for 28 points in the second half. I mean, 26 points in the second half, including a shot that I will eventually have up on my screen share here in a little bit. But while I'm doing all that, DJ, I mean, run us through this. I mean, what were you thinking as this game was progressing from the start to the very end, and how the Mavs finished with a huge series clinching 114-101 win over the Clippers?
Honestly, I thought we came out with a ton of energy, especially on the defensive end. We made their life a living hell offensively. You know, you didn't really see it in the turnover margin. You really didn't see it in the points off turnovers or anything like that. But we were getting our hands on passes. We were causing all sorts of deflections, just causing havoc on the defensive end. And really, I've never thought I would ever say this as a Dallas Mavericks fan, just given our history, but we are an elite defensive team. And that is our calling card now, is our defense. Even with offensive juggernauts like Luka Doncic or Kyrie Irving, we have still embraced our identity as a defense-first ball club. And I have to say it's refreshing, because I'll tell you something else. You know what a lot of teams don't do in this league is play good defense. So, or at least effective defense. And the Mavericks do that, and they were able to really put a stamp on it tonight with their defensive effort. And it's not just, you know, your role players playing defense. I mean, you got Kyrie Irving out here possibly playing the best defense of anyone on the floor. In fact, he is. He 100% is. He had two steals tonight, and Another fun stat, the leader in blocks for the night was not Daniel Gafford. It was not Derek Lively. It wasn't even PJ Washington or the high-flying Derek Jones Jr. It was the smallest player on the floor. It was Kyrie Irving. He had two blocks tonight. And it was off of really good closeouts. I think one time he got Paul George, which is just insane. And I think who did he get on the three-point line the next time? Was it Powell? Did he get Powell? I can't remember who it was.
But I can't remember who it was either. It may have been Powell, but he did. His intensity on the defensive end has been insane to see. He's said it too. You know, at this point in his career, he knows he's taken a back seat to Luka over. Now, sometimes he does, you know, like in the second half, obviously this was Kyrie's takeover. But he knows overall this is Luka's team. I mean, he's the superstar in his prime, or just entered his prime. But he knows that since he's not the guy, that he needs to make the most of his minutes, even if he's not scoring, even if he doesn't have the ball in his hands on offense all the time. And he has really accepted, you know, the team's identity. I mean, the entire team has just been playing unbelievable defense. And there's always going to be an occasional lapse. I mean, you can't play perfect all the time. But overall, this team, from Kyrie to Luka, you know, down to the guys who we know are, you know, really good defenders, everybody has been on the same page. The chemistry is off the charts. Nico Harrison somehow finished fifth in NBA Executive of the Year voting. How? I don't know. Because, I mean, you know, if you want to say second to the Celtics just because they had, you know, because Brad Stevens had the Celtics as the top team in the league record-wise. Sure. I mean, you can do that because they got Porzingis and they've been really good. But I don't know how Nico Harrison finished as low as fifth, because what he has done over these last 12 months has been unbelievable. He has completely reshaped this franchise. And, I mean, it's really the whole Mavs front. I'm sure it's not just Nico Harrison. It's probably Dennis Lindsay, who is a front office advisor, Michael Finley, you know, vice president of basketball ops, even Mark Cuban. You know, he's not the majority owner anymore of the team. He's a minority owner, but he still has his hands in there a little bit. So, I mean, overall, this front office has been incredible, and it started last summer, when they lost those two games that everybody – all the national media people cried about, oh, the Mavs tanked, they should lose their pick, you know, even though it was just two games, it didn't matter at the end of the season anyway. And they got Derek Lively. And, you know, they got Omax, who Jason Kidd thinks, you know, he said that he could be in the rotation as early as next season. He hasn't been much of a contributor this year, but they got Derek Lively. They went into free agency. Got two hidden gems in Derek Jones Jr. and Dante Exum, rolled into this season. And look, the first half of the season, they weren't great, but a lot of that had to do with injuries. Kyrie Irving missed 12 games in a row because Dwight Powell freakishly fell on his foot in Portland. Just like a freak. Like, it shouldn't – if that hadn't happened, then Kyrie would have probably qualified for – you know, an all NBA team this year. But, you know, stuff like that kind of hindered them in the first half of the season, but they had enough defensive issues where Nico Harrison was like, okay, this isn't enough. You know, we got to go out and even if it's getting rid of draft picks, we got to do something. You know, they got Grant Williams in a sign and trade with the Celtics over the summer. You know, Grant Williams is not a bad basketball player, but he wasn't the right fit for this Mavericks team. And he went out and got PJ Washington. He got Daniel Gafford. Instant fits, and could not be any better fits with this Mavs team. And we're seeing the fruits of Nico Harrison's labor now. And look,
he was able to pivot. I'm sorry to cut you off, but the fact that he was able to pivot after the seeming failure of the Grant Williams signing, or trade rather, the way that he was able to pivot and turn that into PJ Washington, and then pivot even more so and get us another shot blocker and Daniel Gafford. I mean, my thing is this, what is your criteria for executive of the year? That's what I want to know. What is the criteria for it? Is it just games won? Because I think that needs to be explored a little bit more deeply. The moves that guy made, not just at the beginning, but midway through the year, were absolutely astounding in terms of effectiveness. And we've had a turnaround since February, what, 8th? Isn't that the trade deadline?
Yep.
It was February 8th. We've had a turnaround since February 8th that hasn't been seen in a long time. I can't remember anything like this. I mean, maybe you can recall, but I can't remember a team turning it around at the trade deadline like this.
I don't know what the exact record was, but I do have to say it was the Mavs went on a very similar run in 2022 when they traded Porzingis for Spencer Dinwiddie.
I don't know
what the exact record was, but I just remember the Mavs got hot, you know, toward the end of the season. But still, even then, you got the feeling that that team was eventually going to cap out, and they did in the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors team that they probably would have beaten if they had more than just two wing defenders. And at the time, it was Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith. And, you know, you had Dwight Powell as your starting center.
Yeah.
So, you know, as hot as that team got in the second half of that season, you still, you know, you were kind of playing above your means getting to the Western Conference Finals. Now you've got Luka and Kyrie, and you've got all these great defenders surrounding them. And then those two guys aren't afraid to get on the floor and be gritty and play good defense. And it's just all meshing so well. And you can tell these guys genuinely care for each other. Mm-hmm. And they celebrate each other's small successes. And, you know, it's translating into very big wins. Look, if you would have told me the Mavs were going to come into this series and beat the Clippers, now, obviously, it plays a role that Kawhi Leonard, you know, wasn't right in this series. But if you had told me the Mavs were going to come into the series and they were going to beat a team with James Harden and Paul George and those other guys who are, you know, fully healthy, and Luka was going to shoot, you know, under 40% for the series. I haven't looked at his final numbers for this series.
It might actually be below 30.
I don't think he's below. I know he is on three, but I don't think he's going to be.
Oh, on three. Yes, he is on three.
Yeah. I'm talking about just overall. Yeah.
Oh, no. I think he's like he was 36% going into this game, I think.
I'm about to pull it up right now. Okay, so in six games, Luka finished. Oh, he did finish slightly above 40% overall. 40.5% overall, 23.9% from three. Look, if Luka had – okay, so for the regular season, Luka shot a career-high 38% from three. If Luka had just shot 30% from three in this series, the Mavs might have swept the Clippers. Mm-hmm. that's how – you know, the only reason this series went to six games is because Luka was battling that knee sprain, and it just affected his lift on his threes. And, you know, he hit a couple – in these last two games, but you could just tell that it wasn't right. And that was one of the big key things about closing out the Clippers in six and not letting it drag into a game seven on Sunday, because now the Mavs are playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But that series will begin on Tuesday night at 8:30 on the road. And it's not like it's going to be, you know, any kind of big travel, you know, they're going to go right up the interstate to Oklahoma City. So it's not going to be bad travel back and forth. But now you get Saturday, you get Sunday, you get Monday, and then you get all day Tuesday leading up to the game. Essentially 4 days of rest, much needed rest for Luka. And hopefully, you know, that knee will be healed up and we'll have a much more efficient Luka in round two because, you know, Chet Holmgren is good. You know, he can block some shots. He's rangy and everything. But the overall, OKC does not have the muscle down low, you know, in my opinion, to push the Mavs around. I'll put it that way. I'm not going to make any, you know, outlandish predictions or anything right now. We'll see how I feel on Monday or Tuesday. But
I think that our front court matches up very well with their front court. I like the matchup of Daniel Gafford or Derek Lively against Chet Holmgren. What's going to be interesting is going to be the backcourt matchup, specifically with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka Doncic, because I don't know, have those MVP votes come out yet?
They haven't. I actually have a piece pre-written for DallasBasketball.com because I have a feeling, you know, based on some of the leaks that came out of the votes that people have confirmed. And I think it's going to end up being Jokic first, SGA second, and Luka third. I think that's what it's going to be. Now, if Luka ends up being second, you know, that's fine. I mean, that's actually kind of what I would expect anyway. But I really do think with the Thunder finishing with the one seed in the year that SGA had, I do think there's a good chance that he finishes ahead of Luka. And look, Luka's going to say that doesn't matter. He's going to say that, you know, the real MVP or the real trophy he wants is the Larry O'Brien trophy in the finals. But you got to know. I mean, these players, they always have some type of bulletin board material. You know, we saw it with the Clippers in this series. After, you know, PJ Washington crossed his arms and kind of, you know, the standing on business thing that became a life of its own, and PJ Washington became a folk hero after game three. Well, then the Clippers came back in game four, and that motivated them, and they shot the lights out and stole a game in Dallas. So, you know, it's any little thing like that, even whether they want to admit it or not, you know, they think about stuff like that. And I think that could, you know, really motivate Luka going into the series, especially considering how poorly he shot from the field against the Clippers in this playoff series. But I think Kyrie Irving, like he's unbelievable right now. He's shooting 50, 40, 90. I'm pulling up the exact numbers right now, but I know he's 50, 40, 90 because I heard it on the ESPN broadcast. Just legendary stuff from Kyrie Irving in that series. And you wouldn't, you know, he kind of calls himself the old man now. But I mean, he's 32, he's still technically in his prime. You know, he probably won't be over the next few years, you know, once he gets closer to 35 or something, but he's been great. I mean, this has been an all-time playoffs from Kyrie Irving so far. And, you know, with all the people that doubted how that fit with Luka and Kyrie would be after how last season ended, man, have they proved a lot of people wrong. And Kyrie, not just on the court, off the court too, he is genuinely a good dude. Like I know people make mistakes. And Kyrie will be the first person to tell you that he has made some mistakes in the past and done some stuff that, you know, he probably shouldn't have done as far as like making stuff public to the media, you know, stuff like that. But genuinely, Kyrie is a good dude and he means well. And Mark Cuban said it before the season started that Kyrie was just misunderstood. And he said it after the trade. And, you know, he has just been a godsend for this team. And I can't believe he's a Maverick, man. Especially after what we saw tonight. And, you know, I mean, while I'm going to let you talk about Kyrie for a second, but, let me pull this up. I got to show this play to the people watching on YouTube because there was a moment in the fourth quarter. So there was a little less than 6 minutes left. The Mavs, they were up by 20. And, you know, the Clippers were trying to play really aggressive defense and attempt to make a comeback. And it didn't work, obviously. But Hold on just a second. Kyrie had this play where PJ Tucker was doing his absolute best to guard Kyrie. Kyrie put on these incredible, look at these handles. Look at him going, like he just has PJ Tucker on a string and just drifts to the corner, nails the three, gets fouled. Kind of reminded me of Paul George dagger three, you know, from game four when the Mavs came all the way back from 31 down and Paul George just, you know, killed him in the corner with that crazy shot. Man, Kyrie is just, he's unbelievable. And talk about Kyrie because I'm rambling.
Well, do you remember earlier in the series whenever I was talking about Paul George and his ability to finish these field shots, these shots in which he is just on the move and it's all just a feel for the game? Well, Kyrie Irving is the best person alive at that, and he has been for some time. And I would almost argue that he may be the best ever at these type of shots, these flowing shots that you're seeing right here, shooting on the move. We've seen him finish time and time again these incredibly difficult shots. He made two of them today. He made one of them from three, and he made another one in the mid-range where he was falling out of bounds. And he seems to do it every single game. Another example was that one where he finished with that left-handed floater. He's incredible at finishing, maybe the best ever at finishing. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I also think that Kyrie Irving is the best ball handler of all time. And I may get some hate for this, but hear me out. All right. People want to say, you know, Allen Iverson, Steve Nash, John Stockton. Okay. But show me one of those guys doing that sequence right there.
They're not.
They're not. Nobody is doing this stuff. Nobody has ever done this stuff, ever.
It's very
the closest thing you are ever going to see to this is going back and looking at God Sham God's college highlights, because that's it. And look who's on the Dallas Mavericks bench, God Sham. Yeah. Right? So, I mean, it's like poetry. It rhymes. But, you know, he's probably the best actual ball handler ever, simply because he is able to do things with the basketball that I've never seen, nobody else has ever seen. He's able to adjust mid-possession, mid-move. He'll make a mistake, and he'll be able to float right into it. I'm going to go out on a little bit of a tangent, but just hear me out. Do you know who the comedian Aziz Ansari is? I'm going to float back into it, but just bear with me. So Aziz has this joke that he talks about Jay-Z, the rapper Jay-Z, and how he's so smooth. He can, you know, he could potentially, you know, step on a banana peel and just get to where he is going, you know, quicker. He just
uses it to his advantage. Were you hearing that?
Yes.
Yeah, that was my bad, guys. Sorry, it's very late, and I'm trying to figure this out on the fly, showing y'all more highlights. Anyway, go ahead.
But anyway, Aziz has a joke about Jay-Z, and, you know, it's about how smooth Jay-Z is. He can, you know, potentially step on a banana peel, and he just uses the slipping on the banana peel to get to where he's going quicker. Well, Kyrie's like that in real life. He is so smooth with the basketball. Even whenever he makes a mistake with it, he can generally turn that mistake into something else and use that to his advantage. And there is video proof of this happening. And, you know, we could talk about this all day, and I'll take all comers in this discussion because I'm ready for war whenever it comes to this. Kyrie Irving is the best ball handler of all time that we have ever seen, ever, in the history of the game.
Well, he's also quite literally the best closer in NBA history, because he came into the night with an all-time record, you know, 12-0 in closeout games, and now he's 13-0, just incredible. And look, I know people say, yeah, well, you know, he played with LeBron for, you know, for several years and long playoff runs and all that, but I mean, look who hit the game-winning shot in game seven of the 2016 NBA Finals. He is very much Kyrie Irving is very much him. He's got it. I mean, you can very much tell that Kobe Bryant was one of Kyrie Irving's close mentors. You know, with his crazy shot making, like it's uncanny how similar it is. You know, like that shot that we showed earlier, the fading out of bounds, still like even that looked like Kobe to me. Now the dribbling and everything is more Iverson. I was about
to say, God rest his soul. Kobe wishes he could dribble like that. In fact, everyone in the league wishes that they could dribble like that. Anyone who has ever played in the league wishes they could dribble like that, because no one has ever been able to do anything like that, ever, ever. I will die on that hill.
So, look, we've talked Luka. We've talked Kyrie. Let's get into some other stuff here, because PJ Washington, you know, he had a slow second half offensively, but he had 11 first half points. He finished with 14 on the night, had 2 steals, 2 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 4 of 8 from 3. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure all of those threes came from the corner. Maybe one of them didn't, but the majority of them came from the corner. So he was great, continued to play great defense. Daniel Gafford, who started out this series so slow, you know, he really had his best game of the series when it mattered most in this closeout game. 13 points in 22 minutes, shot 5 of 8, had 6 rebounds, and was a plus 17 in those 22 minutes. So Daniel Gafford, he finally broke out. Derrick Jones Jr.'s defense is unbelievable. It was all series. Like, you could just tell these dudes, as in James Harden, Paul George, they were sick and tired of Derrick Jones Jr.'s defense in this series. He was wearing them out from start to finish and just relentless, and they didn't like it. They did not like having to work as hard as they had to in this series. And it's a big reason why the Mavs, you know, were able to win in the way they did. So shout out to Derrick Jones Jr. There was one time tonight, and I can't believe it pissed me off when I saw it, because James Harden, you know, he like flicks his head back and he gets the foul call, even though he doesn't even get hit in the face. I don't know why he does it, but he went up for a mid-range shot, and Derrick Jones Jr., he got as close as he could, but you could see it on the replay. There was daylight. There was daylight in between his hand and Harden's forearm, and they still gave Harden the call. And I was just like, that's unbelievable. And then Jason Kidd challenged it, and I was like, okay, it's right there in plain sight. They're going to overturn it because you can see daylight between it. They didn't. They gave James Harden the free throws. He missed one. It was fine. Mavs ended up winning. But, you know, that play just kind of – encapsulated the great defense, the kind of great defense that Derrick Jones Jr. played throughout this series, because he was all over those guys.
Oh, man, and he was great offensively too. Incredible in the open floor. And we knew this about him coming in. He was going to be incredible in the open floor because he's, you know, a top, you know, 99 percentile athlete. I mean, he is literally a world-class athlete out there. So, you know, I can't say enough about what Derrick Jones Jr. has done for his stock, because, I mean, he came in as a journeyman, and I think he's really found a home here in Dallas, and I really hope we can keep him. PJ Washington, you know, I know that he started off kind of slow in this series, and I know that he kind of ended this game, you know, not really just shooting absolute fireworks, but he made big threes when they mattered, especially in that first half, especially in the corner, specifically off of pick and roll actions from the top of the key. We were able to get ball reversals because they take away both the person coming off the pick. They take away the roller who was often lively, and they would leave him open in the corner for three. And he would convert. He'd make them pay. Like you said, he shot 50% from three. That's way more than you can ask for. I mean, that's scorching. So, you know, even though it was a quiet 14 points, it was still a big 14 points from PJ Washington. And I still believe that he could be, you know, the number three man for the Mavs. If not right now, eventually. And they need to invest in him as much as possible, because that kid's got a lot of upside.
Well, like you said, timely threes, because He only had three points in the entire second half, but that one shot, you know, the Clippers, that was when they were still semi-attached. You know, it was tied at halftime. The Mavs were up by seven. Yeah, they were up by seven with, let me see here, 3:22 left in the third quarter. And P.J. Washington hit a big three, you know, to put them back up 10. And then the Mavs ended up being up 15 over those next five or those next 3 minutes heading into the fourth quarter. So, you know, if he doesn't hit that three there, the Clippers have a chance to cut it to five or four. And, you know, you don't know how the momentum goes from that point. So really good stuff from him. I mean, I'm with you. I think he could be the third guy going forward. He's certainly capable of, you know, being that guy on defense. And, you know, he hasn't shot overall up to his abilities based on what we've seen previously in his career. But I think there needs to be an adjustment period, not just for him being on the team longer, you know, and having that continuity, but also getting used to playing winning basketball. You know, when you're on the Charlotte Hornets and you're not having to play as hard of defense because it doesn't really matter, you're a lottery team every year, you know, you don't exert that much energy on defense and you have a lot more for your shot. You know, your legs are pretty much under you the whole time. And, you know, I think that's part of what it is because he's playing so hard defensively, probably like he never has before in his career. And I think that's just taking a little bit of time to adjust. I think he will be much better shooting the ball from deep next season. And I'm excited to see, you know, how it turns out for him going forward.
I think he's always been a really good defensive player. And I'll say that throughout his career, he's been a really good defensive player. I just don't think that he has had to have played as inspired of defense as he is now. Because right now he has something to play for. In Charlotte, you ain't got nothing to play for. You ain't going to the playoffs. They ain't been to the playoffs in how long? It's been alive?
Several years. Yeah, they were in a play-in game a few years ago, but I mean that's pretty much it.
Okay, so I have been alive. That's something, but
that's not playoffs though. I mean, you know.
Okay, have they been in the playoffs since better yet, have they made the playoffs since they were the Bobcats? Let's be honest. Have they?
With Kimba. I remember when they had Kimba. They did for a little bit.
Okay, well, they're so unmemorable that I have no recollection.
The last time the Hornets made the playoffs was during the 2015-16 season. They lost in the first round. But, yeah, that was with Kimba Walker. And let's see, 1, 2, 3. And let's see, this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
So they've had three playoff appearances over the last two decades.
Oof.
And yeah, they lost in the first round every single time.
So, again, you're not playing for anything in Charlotte, at least not really.
all that just to prove the point.
you're not playing. So, you know, I think he's always played good defense. I think he's always played hard, but I don't think it's ever been as inspired as it is now because, again, I mean, they have the potential to play for a championship. They could very well walk through Oklahoma City. And dare I say, they may be able to take out the Nuggets as well if the Nuggets don't lose before then. I mean, the Western Conference is so crazy and so stacked. I mean, it could be anything. You know, I'll tell you who the scariest team in the West is for me is the Timberwolves.
They're tough.
They're freaking terrifying.
They're tough.
They're big. They are deep. And I think they are fully capable of taking out the Nuggets. So, you know, with all that being said, there is no clear-cut number one. And I feel like Dallas has just as good of a chance at winning the whole thing or at least winning the Western Conference as anybody. Because we do have something that none of these other teams have, and that's an elite defense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One more player that I would like to shout out before we get off of here is my boy Derek Lively. You know,
incredible.
And to play through what he is going through mentally, it says a lot about that kid. And I felt like he came up bigger today than he ever has. I mean, he practically had a double-double off the bench. You can't ask for any more. So, you know, kudos to that guy because I know he's going through it. And for him to, you know, put that kind of – I know he's always thinking about it. I mean, how can you not? But – to be able to play through that says a lot about that kid's mentality, and it says a lot about
his release. It's his release. He said the basketball court, you know, being around his second family, as he calls, you know, his Mavs teammates and coaches and everything, he said it's the only place he can go where he can smile. And, I mean, you know, that he picked a good time, you know, to be on a team in the playoffs with all this going on. And I mean, look, at a certain point when all this dies down, he's going to have, you know, probably more of a normal grieving process. And, you know, he's going through it right now. I'm not saying he's not, but, you know, at least he has people around him, you know, to try and help him through it. And I think, you know, like you said, it's unbelievable what he's doing at 20 years old, having lost both parents, and, you know, to be as mature and strong as he's been is just unbelievable. Look, I was looking at some of the lineup data from this series, and Kleba, who he left this game, he only played 5 minutes. He had a nasty fall.
Yeah, that was rough.
He tried to dunk over
Coffee.
Amir Coffee, and he took a spill, landed directly on his shoulder, had a shoulder sprain. He did not return. Something to keep an eye on going into this next series. But you know, when the Mavs played Kleba at the four and Lively at the five, along with Luka, Kyrie and Derrick Jones Jr. So that five-man lineup of Kyrie, Luka, Derrick Jones, Kleba, and Lively played 16 minutes together in this series. They had an offensive rating of 118.8 and a defensive rating of 62.9.
Holy crap.
A net rating of 55.9 in a 16-minute sample. Now, I know that's like small sample size there, but holy shit.
Well, let's make it bigger. You know, hopefully Kleber's okay, though, because that was a nasty fall. And honestly, you know, this is just me complaining, but I felt like it could have been a flagrant just because of the way that Coffee extended his hands. And I feel like if it was anyone but Kleber or Kleba, however you say his name, I butcher it all the time, so just forgive me. But I feel like if it was someone other than Kleba, like, say, James Harden, oh boy, they would have called the cops. So, absolutely. You know, I don't like to be a conspiracy theorist, but let's be real. The NBA wants to protect their stars.
Yeah.
And of course, I think that the same protection should apply to everybody, but you know, who am I?
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at this other, and it's very apparent. And look, Daniel Gafford is capable of being a good defensive anchor as well, but he just doesn't have the overall defensive chops, I guess you'd call it, that Lively does. Lively is just natural. He's taller than Gafford. He's a little bit longer than Gafford, I believe, too. But, you know, you look through this and, like, this has a 39-minute sample size through the Mavs series with the Clippers with, let's see, with Luka, Kyrie, Derrick Jones Jr., P.J. Washington at the four, and Lively at the five. So basically the starting lineup, but with Lively instead of Gafford, had a 109.2 offensive rating and a 98.7 defensive rating. And then you have your main starting lineup of Luka, Kyrie, P.J. Washington, Derrick Jones Jr., and Gafford, where they have a 107.1 offensive rating and a 106.1 defensive rating. So that, you know, that's only a net rating of 1.1.
But that's also the biggest sample size.
It's the biggest sample size, and it's the starting lineup. So, I mean,
yeah.
And you have to factor in the minutes, like I said, you know, at the beginning of this series, where Daniel Gafford just wasn't Daniel Gafford.
Yeah.
But long story short, you know, even with Luka's shooting struggles, even with Gafford, you know, not playing like himself, you know, P.J. Washington not contributing too much in a couple of games on offense, you know, all that considered, and you still had a positive net rating in the biggest sample size lineups. I mean, I'm very encouraged by this team going into the second round against OKC, especially since they're going to have 3 or 4 days to rest up, because they have more than earned this time off. And I think they're going to be ready to go come Tuesday in OKC.
Well, you know, I will say this. I think that this past series was a bit of a coming of age story for this team. Because remember, we said this in earlier pods, and it's been well documented that a lot of these people have never experienced a playoff series before this one. This is a first time for a lot of them. And like anything new, there comes an adjustment period. And I think that we saw the adjustment period happen in real time. And we saw players grow up in real time. We saw P.J. Washington was the first one to grow up a little bit. Then you saw Gafford respond. Then you saw Lively respond. Then Derrick Jones was coming on. So, I mean, you know, I think that there's reason to believe that performances will be better right out of the gate against Oklahoma City. I just hope to God that Luka Doncic can get his three-point shot going. Because once that starts happening, it's gravy, baby. We're rolling.
Yeah, and I think there's – and look, I think – we have a major advantage in not just the overall star power department, but in the bigs department. I think that Gafford and Lively could potentially be too much for the OKC front court to handle throughout the course of a 7-game series. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, it was kind of a similar situation with their first round series against the Pelicans. The Pelicans weren't at full health. Zion Williamson didn't even play in that series. But you know, the Zion Williamson-less Pelicans still weren't as good as what the Kawhi Leonard-less Clippers were.
Oh, God, no.
So, you know, I feel like the Mavs were more battle-tested in their first round, and we'll see if that ends up playing a factor, you know, going into this second round series. A couple of housekeeping notes here before we head off, courtesy of Mavs PR. The people who run that account do an excellent job, and they always send us the goods following every game. So Kyrie Irving scored 28 of his game high 30. I have to correct myself from earlier. I said he had 26 in the second half, but I was correct the first time. 28 points in the second half for his game high 30 points. And that tied, let's see, that tied him for the most points he has recorded in a playoff half in his career. The last time he did it was 28 versus Golden State in the first half in 2021. So Kyrie, he did his thing. It says his 28 points in the second half was also tied for the fourth most points in a half in Mavericks playoff history. So, you know, just
best
more
closure in basketball.
He's unbelievable. As for Luka, he had the 28 points, 7 rebounds, 13 assists, and he ended the series averaging 29.8 points, 8.8 rebounds, and 9.5 assists, and he recorded at least 25-5 for all 6 games in the series. On a bum knee.
Yeah, all on one leg.
So, Luka, the legend of Luka continues to grow, especially that game 5 on the road with the series tied, and you know, to come out and dominate the way they did and win by 30 and then follow it up with tonight's game, it was some special stuff. So DJ, we'll cut it off there because, you know, we're going to go get some sleep. Thankfully it's Friday though, and you know, I fully plan on sleeping a little bit later than usual tomorrow. It's always better, you know, when it's a night like this, and thankfully we get a little bit of a rest now until Tuesday, and then we'll come back on here, and I might do something Sunday or Monday with some OKC guys that I know. We'll see if we get them on here and kind of preview it from their perspective too. But guys, look, we appreciate y'all coming in and listening to us. As always, be sure to like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Go follow us on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. You can find me at Dalton_Trigg. You can find DJ at CoachDrew33. Also, DJ is writing for DallasBasketball.com now. He's had several pieces up this past week. You know, I just randomly, you know, talked to him and was just like, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And he said, yeah. And he's a natural. And I'm like, why have we not done this sooner? So good to have you. You know, you've been my podcast co-host forever now, but now you're also my my colleague at DallasBasketball.com. So I appreciate you, you know, taking the chance doing that. It's been great so far.
Well, I appreciate the pointers. This is kind of a first-time deal for me, so I've really enjoyed it, and I'm going to continue to enjoy it. This has been fun, and it's really fun whenever you're covering a team that's doing so well. So,
oh yeah, yeah. Eventually, we'll have you to the point where, you know, we're integrating video clips and stuff, and we'll let you really get into your bag with the. With, you know, the analyzing the game kind of stuff and having clips. I'm not the best at that part myself, but I know once we get to that point, it'll be great. So, but guys, look, we appreciate it again. Please go subscribe. We appreciate all of you. We're going to go pass out now and sleep very well because the Mavs have finally defeated the Clippers for the first time ever in the playoffs. We'll see y'all.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.